Good morning, gentlemen. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I like that guy Rogers. He's quite an individual. He's quoted all the time, by the way, for his wisdom. Lord, we just want to pray today, and so we're going to pray for Sandy. We're going to talk about angels, Satan, and demons. That's the topic that we're scheduled for. Next week will be the 4th of July weekend, so we will not be meeting then. So just a reminder, we will not be meeting next weekend, so it will be 2 weekends from today. So angels, Satan, and demons, we've talked a little bit about this in the past when we talked about the adversary, but it's part of this topic that Jesus talks about quite a bit. He talked an awful lot about angels. He talked an awful lot about demons. He talked an awful lot about Satan. And there's one thing that's unequivocal. He knew they were all real. And the reality of this world is that sometimes what we do is we look at the unseen world and we don't see it, and so therefore we think it's not real. But 2 Corinthians 4 actually tells us the things that are not seen are more real than the things that are seen. That means there's substance to the things you don't see. And so there's a lot that the Lord wants us to know and understand about this. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to pray for Sandy, and then we'll pray for each of you too. Lord, we come here today, as always, expecting to hear a word from God. And we do that, Lord, because we know that those that know you, Lord, are a friend of God, and that you walk with us and you talk with us, Lord. You've given us your Holy Spirit to speak to us and to guide us and instruct us and convict us. And we're so very, very thankful for that, because without you, Lord, we have nothing. We're just blowing in the wind. But with you, Lord, we have everything. We have the eternal riches of Christ Almighty, who is seated at the heavenlies right now. And so, Lord, we do come right now to the heavenlies, and we come boldly and with confidence to pray, Lord. I pray, we pray, Lord, for each man here today. Each man, Lord, that you would speak to them, that they do not leave here, and they don't, Lord, without you speaking to them, without knowing that God himself has spoken to them. We ask, Lord, that you do that through each person sitting at the table, sitting across from somebody else. We ask, Lord, that you use the people there to speak. They don't have to be aware of it, Lord. We just have to be aware that you're at work. And then, Lord, we pray for Sandy that you would just fill him, Holy Spirit, fill him now. Anoint him with your power, Lord, so that the words he speaks would be the words that you want him to relay to us, Lord, for the meaning that you want us to gather from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you guys hear me? Oh, yeah, you can definitely hear me unless you're deaf. I'm a little under the weather today, and I'm asking for prayers for myself and for my daughter. Things have gotten pretty tense, and the stress is showing on me and on my wife and obviously on my daughter. And 1,000 years ago, I had a conversation with Randy and about evil, because one of the things that attracted me to this group was that this group believes in evil. And when I say believes in it, I don't mean we root for it, but knows that evil is out there and it can't be explained away with some sort of sociological explanation. There just is evil. There was a Jewish scholar named Hannah Arendt who talked about the banality of evil, meaning that people who appear to be ordinary can be possessed. She was talking about the Holocaust. And then when Ahmadinejad was out in his, that's the guy who used to be the president of Iran, Charlie Rose had on a guest, and who was a Catholic priest, and I can't remember his name, but I was watching, and Ahmadinejad had been on the night before, and they were discussing evil, and the priest said, well, you just had one of the evil one's minions on your show. And I never forget, because he used the word minion, which means a gathering. So there's definitely is evil in the world, and there definitely are demons. And I'll get to the angels first, but later. But I just think it's so important that we understand that we are all under attack by the evil one. And I sometimes can actually feel it. I mentioned this to Randy and asking if I needed to go to a psychiatrist. And he was very polite and nice and said, not for that reason. I, with more faith, maybe I'll ask him the real reasons. In any case, and there is a book called People of the Lie, which Richard and I both read, by Scott Peck. Very scary book. And Scott Peck was a naval psychiatrist, and he wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled, which was also a fantastic book. And it was on the New York Times bestseller list for over 20 years. And when Scott Peck decided to write the book, he was going to talk about spiritual paths, but he ended up, as he wrote the book, he had a conversion experience, and he ended up believing that Jesus was the way, and he became a very, very committed Christian and brought large groups of people together in order to, as he would say, enjoy the spirit of Jesus. But what was different about his groups was there was not a preacher and then a group. People, kind of like here, broke into small groups, and then they decided what they could do as a community of believers to make the world a better place. And, but I heard him being interviewed on NPR once, and the topic of angels came up. And the interviewer for NPR, Scott Simon, was kind of saying, well, we know you believe in Jesus, but you really don't believe in angels, do you? Scott Peck launched into a discussion of how many different angels that he had seen or been visited by. Now, I want you to know that at this point in his life, he was still the top consulting psychiatrist for the Navy. So we're not talking about somebody that had gone off the deep end. And, yeah, so, and he gave instances even in these meetings that he had. He called them community meetings, which has nothing to do with communism, by the way. Community meetings and people that had come and spoken that nobody knew. And he was an alcoholic, and he said that he had a dream that if he wrote this book, for the first one, The Road Less Traveled, that he would be led by God out of alcoholism. And it worked that way. And so, now, there's two concepts in Judaism about angels. And so, and then I'll get to the Christian. Don't worry about it. But Jews definitely believe in angels. And they have the same view as does the Christians about angels in the strictest of sense, in that the angels are messengers of God, that there are multiple, many thousands of them, but they are all under God's command, and they work to protect human beings, to help human beings, but they're not free agents. They are all doing it for Yahweh, under Yahweh's direction. The only difference between Christians and Jews on this matter is, I guess it's the most fundamental difference, is that Christians would say they're all under the direction of Jesus, and Jesus directs them. And so there's this, in the book, there's a great thing about you've been waiting and waiting for some present, and the UPS driver comes to your door and brings the present. Do you hug him and thank him? No. Because it was the person who sent the UPS driver that counts. And that person is in Hebrew scriptures, Yahweh, Adonai, and in the New Testament, Jesus. So, in one sense, I could stop talking right now because I've given you the most kernel of truth. If you leave here with nothing else, you leave here remembering that Jesus Christ is in charge, and when you pray, when you thank, whatever you do, use Jesus' name. You know, if it was a basketball game, maybe the angel would get an assist, but it's definitely Jesus. And my brother is going to be on a TED Talk talking about Judaism and in Germany, and we've had discussions. And he believes that a lot of this discussion of angels is pernicious. It's a big word he used, which basically means not a good idea. And his reasoning is that God gets lost in the shuffle when we start relying on angels. And he says that it's polytheistic and a cop-out. So the one other thing that he reminded me of is that a lot of what we think about angels doesn't come from what he refers to as either the Hebrew scriptures or the Christian scriptures, but comes from ancient myths, so that the Babylonians had depicted angels having wings. They depicted them coming and being free agents. Unsignable by the Packers, though. Free agents who would do what they wanted to do to make the world a better place. And there's no mention in the Hebrew scriptures of an angel having wings. And there's no mention in the Christian scriptures of the angels having wings. I don't particularly care, but I do think his one point is very well taken, that the worship of angels is going down the wrong road. So, and we see people doing that, and he would say, I'll say it the way I want to say it. It's a cop-out, because when you embrace angels, you're not embracing the true power of God. And we've had a lot of that in religion. Now, one of the reasons that I think that God sent Jesus to earth, or Jesus sent himself, I don't want to get into that thicket. That's Richard's next talk. But is because God wanted us to be able to relate to God, so he sent us a human being to relate to God, and one that was willing to die on the cross for our sins and show us that God was willing to do anything for us. So we already had Jesus. We don't need to set up little mini Jesuses. What we need is to stay focused on Jesus. Now, the other thing that in Judaism, where the word angel is used occasionally, is in a different context. And the Jews definitely believe in possession by demons, and that you have to invoke the name of the Creator in order to get rid of the demons. And you cannot do it yourself, but you have nothing to fear if you invoke the name of the Creator. And some Jewish Orthodox Jews get up every day and invoke the name of the Creator and before they go to bed, because they believe that demons are all around. And they believe, just like somebody can become a carrier for tuberculosis, you can become a carrier for being a demon. But they also believe that you can be, there is a concept in Judaism of doing a mitzvah, which means a good deed, and after it's done, it's called a mitzvot, and they are both doing something for God, for another person. So when I was discussing this with my wife, she's had a couple of experiences lately. She left her purse at Walmart, and a black man in a very beat-up car was waiting for her with the purse. She got a nail in her tire and didn't notice it. Somebody left her a note. If you wonder, the Bible says that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. It just occurred to me that she's probably taking up 10 or 15 of them. Getting back to that, the people at a certain moment possessed with the Spirit of Christ can be angel-like in what they're doing because they're doing the will of God just like an angel. Now, when I was doing the research for this topic, I was surprised at how many what they consider verified angel sightings there have been, and what they mean by is that something happens, and it can only be explained by divine intervention. And there's an incident that's discussed in the book where this missionary is the chief tries to kill him, and they're beaten back by men in white tunics and at night, and the chief said, "Where'd you get all those soldiers?" And the missionary said, "I don't know anything about soldiers." And so obviously they were angels. There was a car accident in West Virginia, and they thought everybody was dead, except a voice came out of the car saying, no, there are two children, you've got to free them." When they got in the car, the mother was there, but she had been dead for hours. There's another one about a priest coming along on the road and helping some motorists who were stranded in a snowbank and going to die. By the time the rescuers came, he had disappeared. And in spite of the newspapers, and I think this was upstate New York, and I was on the television asking this man to come forward, describing him, he never came forward. So there's a good chance that he was an angel sent by God. So I think that, and so people get confused. They say, well, the scriptures have already been written. Why are angels still coming? Well, the work of God is not done. And so he's going to use his messengers and continue to use them. By the way, angels are not physical. They can take physical form. They are energy beings, and they cluster around God. Now, we know that they have also the temptation, because we have the fallen angel, which is not my fault. Usually I put the angel on the top of the Christmas tree and it falls, but that's not what I'm talking about. So my wife would tell you differently. He has many names: Lucifer, the tempter, Beelzebub, you name it, George Burns, whatever. But he didn't. There's no indication of him wearing a funny red suit or a hat. And the reason I say that is one of the ways he deceives us, being the great deceiver, is that he tries to make himself seem to be ordinary so that we don't notice it and we don't resist it. And we've known a lot of horrible things in this world have happened because people didn't resist. So you can become a minion of the angel of the devil without even trying. So, and this is kind of harsh, but if you find yourself hanging around somebody who appears to be possessed, you have two choices. Either get out of their sight, or I guess now on the internet, get out of their chat room, or you need to invoke the name of Christ repeatedly, and you need to pray for yourself that you are not led down a bad path. When one of the major companies was going under in the year 2000, a woman turned them in who was a treasurer, and she was surrounded by these people who were doing evil things by manipulating stock prices and cheating people and all sorts of other things. And she prayed to God. Her first name was Christine, which helps. She prayed to God for the strength to avoid these people who had been possessed by the demon of lust. And she eventually did turn them in and help the FBI in the investigation. And so when you're confronted with that type of evil, it's not that you should go run and hide, but you need to invoke Jesus. I mean, this is a pretty simple principle, yet we don't seem to want to do it. It's like getting my grandson to make his bed. So I think the most important thing, the book describes a lot of the attributes of angels. They're stronger than we are. They're more intelligent. And we will, however, at some point become angels, and we will have better qualities than they are. We'll get a field command or field promotion. But I think the most important thing is to remember, call on Jesus Christ and to always be on the lookout for the other. My brother mentioned to me that he had listened to a talk. I mentioned this to Richard. A rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi, and a Lutheran minister gave a talk saying that they believe that we are in the end times, and how things turn out and how we do is up to us. So don't get preoccupied with angels. Get preoccupied with God. Get preoccupied with Jesus. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I wish all of you to be believers in Jesus and strengthened by Jesus. And please, God, keep all of the demons of hell away from all of us. Thank you.